Our first scripture lesson today is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 47. Listen now for God's word to you in this reading of scripture. Clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with loud songs of joy. For the Lord, the Most High, is awesome, a great king over all the earth. God subdued peoples under us and nations under our feet. God chose our heritage for us, the pride of Jacob, whom God loves. God has gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth, sing praises with a psalm. God is King over the nations, God sits on a holy throne. The princes of the peoples together as the people of God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God, God is highly exalted. For the word in creation, for the word in scripture, for the word within us, thanks be to God.
The very first chapter, the first 11 verses. Listen now for God's word to and for us. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning, until the day when he was taken up into heaven, and after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus replied, it is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all of Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, Jesus was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up towards heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up towards heaven? This Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. For the word in scripture, for the word in creation, for the word within us, thanks be to God. A monument paying tribute to a dog named Shep stands at the Burlington Northern Railroad Station in Fort Benton, Montana. It was put there because the townspeople wanted to have a testimony and a memory of one dog's loyalty and love for his master. In the summer of 1936, Shep's master died. His body was shipped to the East Coast for burial, and when they took the casket to the railroad station and loaded it on, Shep followed. And he sat on the platform and he watched as they loaded the casket on. And then when the train pulled away from the station, Shep started running after it. He ran and he ran and he ran. And he tried to keep up with his master until he was too tired. And when he finally stopped, he went back to the depot. And there he stayed for the next 5.5 years, waiting for his master to return until he was killed by an incoming train. You know, the apostles in today's sermon text were behaving a whole lot like Shep. Just as Shep kept looking for his master, the disciples, they kept staring at the sky after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And just as Shep had clung to his memories of the past, The disciples were clinging to their dream of when and how Israel's glory would be restored. Lord, they asked right before Jesus ascended, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel? The apostles, you see, were holding on to the glory days of Israel, the days in Israel's history when King David was on the throne and when his son Solomon was on the throne. And they longed for the time when, once again, the Messiah would restore the political independence and the power that they had enjoyed as a nation during those glory days. But you know, our God never does reruns. God had another plan. Jesus had prepared them for this new chapter before he ascended into heaven. After all, he had spent 3 years with them. He had taught them, and he had healed them, and he had shared ministry with them. And when he called them, his call was so clear and so strong that they had left everything that they had behind to follow him. They had learned more about Jesus and God's kingdom in 3 years than most people learn in a lifetime. And they'd endured the pain and the trauma and the rejection of the crucifixion. And then they experienced the joy and the wonderment and the miracle of the resurrection after Jesus was crucified. They didn't only not want to let go of their vision of Israel being restored to its former glory, but they also didn't want to let go of their friend and their teacher. After his resurrection, we are told that Jesus appeared many times during a 40-day period. Now, whenever we hear from the number 40 in the Bible, it's kind of code for not 40 literal days, but a really long time. Get ready for a really long time. Like the time when Moses and Elijah and Jesus drew away for 40 days to draw closer to God. And like the time the children of Israel wandered in the desert for 40 years before entering the promised land. During those 40 days after the resurrection, Jesus was getting the apostles ready for his physical separation from them. Jesus was preparing them for the time when he would no longer be physically with them, for the time when they would be his witnesses and they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. God was about to do a new thing, a wonderful thing, a never before done thing that was going to change everything. But there was only one problem. The apostles were stuck in the past. When God works so wonderfully in our lives, it's only natural to want to hold on and to cling to those experiences. Jesus had filled the disciples' lives with more blessings and more life, far more than they could, and experiences than they could ask or imagine. Even so, God had a new day and a new plan. God had other ideas about how the kingdom would be established, and others ideas about how the relationship between God and the disciples would take place. One season of discipleship had ended, and another season of discipleship was starting, and they almost missed it. It didn't mean that the promises of God had changed. It didn't mean that God's rule wouldn't be established on earth. It just meant that God had another plan, another way of getting us there. Our God, who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, can be counted on and trusted to provide for us today. You see, the dream had been expanded. God's provision of yesterday was to covenant with Israel. Israel was, of course, we remember, blessed to be a blessing. Now, those who Jesus had handpicked would be the means through which God's kingdom and God's good news would spread to the ends of the earth. The original disciples and we are like Amazon's Prime good news delivery system for God. God wants to share the love of God to every single person through us in real time at no charge. We, like the original disciples, often cling to the gifts of the past. When this church got its start in the late 50s and 1960s, the pews of the mainline church in America were full. We enjoyed Sunday school classes that were overbrimming. The church was the religious and the cultural center of the community. And just as the disciples longed for the gift of the past of Israel, we too sometimes long for those days to return, those glory days, as melancholy would have us remember them, of church in America, the way things used to be. But what if instead we would pray to God with open hands, thanking God for the gift of yesterday, but asking God to take the things out of our hands, including our own expectations that don't belong there anymore, and to reach out and see what the new gift that God will put into our hands and what new gift will come. Since people aren't coming into the church in the numbers that they once did, and you know, some of that is due to COVID, but we have a lot of extra seats in this sanctuary, and I know we'd all like to fill them up. But I wonder what new thing God might want to be doing through us to meet them, since they're not in here, where they are. What would it look like if we intentionally extended hospitality to our neighbors by offering our outdoor spaces in expanded ways? We had a wonderful yard sale that was a neighborhood yard sale for the first time during Earth Day weekend, and many people came out, and you know, we did that in the south parking lot, and that was wonderful, and we're planning to do that 2 times a year going forward. And you know, we use it often for the preschool, I understand, for the egg hunt and trunk or treat and all kinds of things. But what if we were to expand the ways that we make our parking space available to our neighbors? There is a wonderful article in the March 23rd issue of the Christian Century which asks this question: what if a church parking lot functioned more like a plaza where the faith community re-neighbors itself into a familiar home? What if the church parking lot functioned more like a plaza where the faith community re-neighbors itself into a familiar home? The article then goes on to give several examples of churches who have done just that. Some churches have created community gardens, like our sister church in Dunedin. They have a community garden there. Some are using the parking spaces to host farmers markets and festivals. Others have planted labyrinths on their church parking lots. Some have invited people who live in their cars to be able to park there at night. Others have designated some spaces for tiny homes. You ever see those little tiny homes on HGTV for transitional housing? I just wonder what synchronicities might be created if we were to gather God's people in our outdoor spaces on a regular basis at the same time as Sunday worship. What if we were to create a Sunday plaza space, offering food, showcasing the arts, and perhaps offering a different focus on a regular basis, whether that's every month or every 2 months? You know, the options really are only limited by our collective imaginations. Mourn the past, passing of the gifts of yesterday, yes, but look forward for the new gift that will come. The God who provided for us yesterday can be counted on to provide for us today and in the future. In the Ascension, we haven't lost Jesus. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside of each one of us. Just think, The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living and dwelling inside of each one of us with that same power. And we have the privilege and we have the joy of sharing the good news with a community and a world that desperately needs it, right here and right now. Well, Shep's loyalty was admirable, but in his obsession to hold on to the past, he missed 5.5 years of his life. I wonder if his time would have been better spent if he hadn't just stayed there on the platform, but if he had traveled far and wide, sharing how wonderful his master had been. But he didn't. He just sat there in one spot, waiting for his master to return, waiting for life to return to the way it used to be. Let's not waste our time sitting around expecting God's gift of today and tomorrow to look like the gifts of yesterday. I wonder what new chapter for ministry our Mother God wants to birth through Trinity Clearwater for such a time as this. I invite you to pray with me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. Be seated and remain seated for the postlude. And now, as soon as after you listen to the postlude, go out into the world in peace. Have courage. Return no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the suffering, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord be kind and gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Alleluia, and all of God's people said, Amen.